Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Carlsbad to Cleveland, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A., everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Boy, we've got it all coming up this morning. We appreciate it, you joining us. And we hope that we are, in the same way, the winners of this weekend, locked in, ready to roll, and executing well. We hope that we are the same way this morning, because we're going to tackle everything from Wild Card Weekend. Coming up this morning on the show, later on in the third hour of the program, Kevin Harlan's going to join us. One of the great voices of the NFL for the NFL on CBS and the NFL on Westwood One. We always love having Kevin join us. His enthusiasm, his voice sounds like football. We'll talk to him about Wild Card Weekend coming up here on the show 2 hours from now. Also, Ben Volen, senior writer for the Boston Globe, who covers the NFL, will also join us for reaction from the NFL weekend. So we are top to bottom, side to side, completely covering all of the weekend, 6 games in the NFL playoffs. We'll get it from all sides. Can the Bills keep this train going after what we saw on Saturday? We'll tackle that in 40 minutes. Also, the Chicago Bears, the offense to nowhere. What happens now? And the win by the Saints. We'll do that coming up in an hour and 20 minutes from now. It's also a momentous Monday with a very special playoff twist. We'll do that next hour. We've also got to tackle, obviously, yesterday, watching all of the big games, Steelers and Browns. We've got to do that a ton this morning as the Browns jump out to a 28-0 lead last night and hold on for dear life to get their first victory since the mid-90s and Bill Belichick being there. Congratulations, Browns fans. We're going to be all over that game. But the Steelers completely melted down and the Browns took advantage, and they're dancing into the divisional round at Arrowhead Stadium next weekend. Also, the Seahawks throwing a complete puker up there as well on Saturday after a 12-4 season. They're going home. So we're all over it this morning here on the show, Fear Not. We're going to tackle all of the games from this weekend. If you want to jump in on the phone, let's do it at 855-212-4CBS. Any of those games, any of those angles, also the national championship game tonight. How about that? We've got Alabama, Ohio State tonight. So there's even more football left on the docket this week. 855-212-4227. Or easier than that is even hit me up on Twitter with your thoughts from the weekend. DA on CBS is the handle. Again, DA on CBS. Yesterday, to start off things, in Nashville, Lamar Jackson had an 0-2 playoff record coming into this weekend. And yes, after only two playoff games, there was already the narrative of, can Lamar Jackson win a postseason game? Now, he's in good company because this has happened to great quarterbacks before. But Lamar Jackson yesterday, splendidly cutting through, dicing through the Titans defense for that 48-yard touchdown scamper. The Ravens end up winning that game, and Lamar Jackson has his signature January win. Did Lamar Jackson, with yesterday's victory by the Ravens, finally stamp his playoff ability? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Steps up, pocket collapsing. He escapes. He's to the 40-yard line. 35, 30. Lamar Jackson to the 20. Leg raise, 10, 5. And he's pushed out of bounds at the 1-yard line. No! Signal is touchdown. Lamar Jackson on 3rd and 9. He takes it to the house.
Jackson in the gun. Hands it to Dobbins off the left side, slips in, touchdown, J.K. Dobbins, and the Ravens have their first lead of the game.
Clock winding now, they are stunned on the Titans bench. Victory formation, Lamar Jackson takes a snap, he takes a knee, and he will take off for the divisional playoff round. He is winless no more in the postseason.
We get in crucial situations, keep our eyes on the prize, stay focused. We get on third down situations, let's get the first down. We was really just not trying to put our defense on the field because, like, those guys were just doing their job. Like, doing their thing today, you know, just flat out, just ball hawking, playing great run defense, and we just had to score points.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Ravens radio on the call. Lamar Jackson after 179 yards through the air, 136 on the ground, and coming back from a double-digit early deficit to beat the Titans on the road 20-13. Let's start with the narrative that Lamar Jackson couldn't win a playoff game. It was so early in this young man's career. I mean, think about this. Lamar Jackson's been to the playoffs all 3 years he's been a starting quarterback. That's not bad. And of course, it's not just Lamar Jackson. But since he took over as starter, he has never missed the postseason. That should really be in and of itself an accomplishment before we start going down the road of he'll never win a big playoff game or he couldn't win a big playoff game. Number two, man, I'm old enough to remember this whole thing surrounding Peyton Manning. Manning missed the playoffs in 1998, his rookie season. They went 3-13. The next year, they go 13-3. They've got a home playoff game against a wildcard Titans team and lose. Yes. They end up going to two more postseasons and losing in their first playoff game. He loses in Miami to the Dolphins. He also ends up losing another time in the divisional in the wildcard round, 41-0 against the Jets. 41-0. And Peyton Manning, through three playoff games, is looked at as, wow, you'll never win in January. And that was 5 years later. He was 5 years into his NFL career because it was three postseason losses and then two non-playoff seasons before he finally got that monkey off of his back and riddled the Denver Broncos for 41 points and five touchdowns. And suddenly people said, oh, I guess he could do this, and help lead the Colts to the AFC Championship game where they lost to the Patriots for the first time. So there was so much more football for Lamar Jackson to play before I was about to say he can't do it in January. What I thought was cool about this was that basically the Ravens check all of the boxes in one fell swoop. Coming back from a deficit, doing it on the road, getting a W, and really shedding also their own monkey off of their back because the Titans had seemingly had their number specifically last year in the postseason when Lamar Jackson, let's remember, had 500 total yards of offense. He threw for 350 and ran for another 140, but turned the football over too much. And it wasn't like he couldn't move the football. It was just that they couldn't convert it into points last year. Well, Lamar Jackson was far better with the football this time around, only one turnover. And the Ravens defense also came to play. You really have to give Baltimore's defense a huge assist here, because they end up holding down a guy that ran for 2,000 yards to 40 yesterday. Derrick Henry gets 18 carries for 40 yards. The longest run that Derrick Henry had, 8 yards. And so Lamar Jackson did what he needed to do. The Ravens defense needed to do what it did to get the victory. And they got the W, and they're going home, finally advancing in January with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. When John Harbaugh says after the game that's the greatest run he's ever seen by a quarterback, look, it was really good. And it's a great playoff quarterback run. It is not the greatest run in NFL quarterback history. Off the top of my head, there's two greater, one of which is Steve Young stumbling and bumbling through the Rams defense, or the Vikings defense rather, maneuvering around defenders, shedding blocks, stumbling into the end zone. It is one of the most remarkable runs in quarterback history. Yes, he's kind of off balance by the end, which makes it more dramatic, but it's still a greater quarterback run. Also, Mike Vick, who was Lamar Jackson's prototype before Lamar Jackson, splitting through the Vikings defense and so fast that two defenders have an angle on him and they end up colliding with one another as he zips through, almost like a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner type thing or a Three Stooges thing. Those are two runs that you will see more historically than Lamar Jackson yesterday. But I'm only bringing this up not to discredit Lamar Jackson, only because John Harbaugh called it the greatest quarterback run ever. But John Harbaugh also said that's his greatest win yesterday ever. And he admitted that that's because of recency, that once you have some space from it, you can rank them. But when it just happens, it's the greatest win of your life. That's not John Harbaugh's greatest win of his life. He has gone to Foxborough and won an AFC Championship game. He has won a Super Bowl. But what he's talking about is the emotion in the moment, and the Ravens certainly had it. Another part of this is the Ravens stomping on the logo at midfield once you had the interception by Marcus Peters, which I always find this so hysterical. The NFL realized that celebrations were good for business. Once they had outlawed extensive celebrations, they realized people really liked them. And so now they encourage them that you're allowed to have, encouraged to have, team-wide, Rockettes-level style celebrations of the end zone. Everybody's pulling a pin, everybody's doing a dance, everybody's doing something around one another. They're doing all these choreographed bits. And they even have a celebration cam in the end zone where all of the team is going into the end zone and celebrating together into that big screen. So the NFL has said, oh yeah, we want you to party. We want you to party in the end zone. And when it comes to midfield and the Ravens dancing on the Titans logo, it's like, whoa, we can't do that. Sacrosanct. Okay, you, that's hallowed ground. That's an Indian burial ground right there. You can't touch that. That's Arlington National Cemetery. Do not go there. When there's logos of both teams in the end zone, when we do the Rockettes numbers, I don't see everybody going, okay, everybody, get in position, but make sure you don't step on the logo here, because we don't want to disrespect the opponent. So just people say, well, that's what happens in hockey locker rooms. You can't step on the logo. Yes, I've been in hockey locker rooms, and yes, I know you can't step on the logo, but we're not playing the game in the locker room. We're not inviting the opponent into the locker room to then line up for 3.5 hours and actually compete on top of said logo. It's like it's part of the playing field. Okay, is it purposefully disrespectful? Sure. Is it reason to wage war and reasons for 15-yard penalties and whatnot? I think that's so silly. It is so silly. It's part of the playing field, for crying out loud. If they were to go all the way to your end zone and use that logo or the typeface on the logo, that's okay or that's not okay. I just want to know where our rules are here. Either way, that's small potatoes from yesterday as the Ravens win 20-13. We have so much to get to this morning here on the DA Show. So let's start it up at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, I'll get your thoughts on Lamar Jackson's first playoff win coming up after the break, but also we've got your best audio of the day. Let's preview tonight's national championship game. Also, does Alex Smith have any more football left in him after he did not play in their playoff game? And in Houston, there is damage control about Deshaun Watson and who they hired for GM. We're just getting started. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We begin with the national championship game tonight, Ohio State and Alabama. Bama's about a 7.5-point favorite in this game. Ohio State, obviously, with the impressive victory over Clemson a week and a half ago. Here is head coach of the Buckeyes, Ryan Day.
We're in the moment, and all that really matters is preparing for this game. I think when you start to take a step back, you get distracted. And every minute of the day, I tell the players, should be spent on Alabama. That's it. If you're spending your time thinking about anything else, it's a distraction towards focusing on this game.
I'll tell you, I think a lot of people, A, just think that Ohio State had one great night in it, and that's why they beat Clemson, and that they're no match for Alabama. I think B, there might be a lot of people just simply overlooking it. The college football season seemed to be being played kind of as a secondary show to the NFL for a lot of reasons. So many different conferences played so many different games. The whole fan thing was such a confusing thing. So many games were canceled or postponed. And so the national championship for this year in college football has kind of been shoved to the wayside, I think, for a lot of people. But I actually believe we're in for a really good game tonight. I think what Ohio State proved was that when they are clicking offensively and Justin Fields can make those types of plays, they can go blow for blow with a team like Alabama. They certainly did that with Clemson. And Clemson's a big boy of college football, obviously. They've got a great set of offensive weapons, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. The fact that Justin Fields could end up making plays and be able to answer anything or counter anything that Clemson did tells me that they should be able to do a lot of that tonight as well. Now, the return of Jalen Waddle is a huge thing because, of course, Devontae Smith is as good as they come, and Alabama has so much talent they could lose their best wide receiver for most of the season, and another wide receiver could win the Heisman Trophy. So getting Waddle back should be huge, and Mac Jones has had a great season as well, and Alabama's gone from all defense and run the football to all offense and throw the football. But I really do believe that Ohio State's up for the challenge, which is why when they were put in the college football playoff, I had absolutely no qualms about it. I know they played a limited schedule, but I didn't need to see anything more to make me believe the Buckeyes are one of the best teams in the country. I think that they're going to show out tonight. I think they're going to show out, and I think that this is a really good game, and I do not think that Alabama is somehow a cut above what the Buckeyes are going to bring to the table tonight. Meantime, in the NFL world, on Saturday night, Washington ended up losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 8. The surprising thing was not obviously that Washington lost, it was that we never ended up seeing Alex Smith. Alex Smith never played in the game. Instead, it was Taylor Heinicke. He of Old Dominion and practice squads across the NFL. And so if Alex Smith couldn't play because of a calf injury in the playoffs, what does that mean for his reconstructed leg? Here is Smith.
I had so much fun this year, especially given all the COVID stuff. But to be back in the locker room, to be on the field with the guys, to be playing a game I love and to lose yourself in it, is one of the greatest feelings in the world. You cannot duplicate it outside of here. And for me, I'm going to take a few weeks. My wife has been through a lot. My family, certainly, I'm going to take their input.
Isn't it funny how some guys just feel like they've been around forever, and then you look and you're like, oh, they're actually not that old. Alex Smith is only 36. So under normal circumstances, a guy that's been a three-time Pro Bowler at quarterback, guy that's been the number one pick in the NFL draft, a guy that's been to multiple NFC championship games, you know, you kind of feel as though, well, Alex Smith, he should still have football left. And yet that injury was so difficult to stomach and so tragic in many ways that he nearly lost his leg in his life, that if Alex Smith retired at 36 years old, he would have had a hell of a career. Tough to know that he just couldn't play on Saturday and that they had to opt for Taylor Heinicke, but in Heinicke's play, they actually found something. And I don't know if Taylor Heinicke can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I do think, though, that the spark that he gave him on Saturday night was poised to be one of the great all-time playoff moments. If Heinicke could have out-dueled Tom Brady and beaten Brady for a 7-9 Washington football team, it would have been incredible. But he had guts, he showed guts, and it came up a little bit short. But for Alex Smith, if this is it, what a comeback it was, right? And finally, here's Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans, who took over when his father, Bob, passed away. Now you've got stories that Deshaun Watson's open to being traded after the hiring of GM Nick Caserio from the New England Patriots. Here's McNair.
I've come to understand that it's been reported that Deshaun feels left out of the process, that he and I had several visits, and I understood his point of view before meeting with candidates. I've reached out to Deshaun about Nick's hire, and I look forward to him getting back to me when he returns from his vacation.
All right, that's your sound check. You know, what's happening in Houston is so funny, and it's that we have a series of reports and sources and information from around the NFL that Jack Easterby has risen to a position in that organization that he is unqualified for because he has developed a relationship with the owner. And I got to tell you, this is how Washington has been dysfunctional for a long time, because Bruce Allen made some type of behind-the-scenes, backroom relationship, friendship, whatever it was, with Dan Snyder. And Snyder just refused to give Bruce Allen the pink slip and gave Bruce Allen a lot of influence in terms of hirings and firings. And that was a huge reason why Bruce Allen was a career survivalist, and he was able to climb his way up through the channels of Washington despite being really bad at his job because he was friends with Dan Snyder. This is what's happening with Jack Easterby. That Easterby has no background in personnel. He's got no background in front office. He is a team chaplain, and this is no disrespect to chaplains or men or women of faith. I've got a lot of respect for them, but this is about a team chaplain becoming the general manager and basically telling the owner who to hire is a bad situation, because the way that this thing went down, according to reports by Adam Schefter over the weekend, and again, Schefter is pretty much hitting 1,000. If it's not 1,000, it's like 950, is that Cal McNair decided, okay, to find the new GM, we're going to hire a firm, a search firm, to bring me the candidates. And that Deshaun Watson was in on that. Okay, the search firm is going to bring you the candidates, and then you're going to decide the best candidate. Fine. And Cal McNair had these five candidates lined up, and specifically had one from the front office of the Steelers that appeared to be getting the job. Okay, you could do way worse than taking an assistant GM away from the Steelers and saying, okay, you're going to be our guy. And at the 11th hour, Jack Easterby called this whole thing off. Again, he's only the character coach. He's not even the real GM, okay? And he called Cal McNair and said, no, you've got to get Caserio. Now, note that Easterby and Caserio work together in New England, so they're boys. And Easterby said, no, you got to go get Caserio. You got to go get Caserio. Caserio's going to be hired by somebody else. You got to get Caserio. And Cal McNair quickly pivoted and hired Nick Caserio. And many within the organization, apparently including Deshaun Watson, was like, well, what just happened to the search firm? Again, you're just using the advice of this guy Easterby. And so, look, there's going to be some people that say Easterby doesn't have the ultimate control in the organization and that Caserio is a good hire and all of that, and that's fine. But if you're Deshaun Watson, yeah, you and a lot of people in that organization are peeved because you're watching Jack Easterby, again, manipulate his way into a position of steering everything the way that he wants it to be steered. And if I'm Watson, I'm upset by this as well. Look, there is a way to do this. You obviously are looking at things pragmatically, logically, who's the best. And then suddenly Jack Easterby, who might have been the guy that pushed DeAndre Hopkins out of town, is going, no, you got to get this guy. You got to get my guy. You got to get my guy. And suddenly you just break everything else off and go get that guy. I'd be upset too. Beware of this Easterby dude and beware of the direction of the Texans. And this is why Watson's unhappy. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. How about doing more? Sponsored by the Home Depot for DIY projects. You know, the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hands. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done. The Bills, their first playoff win in 25 years, get the victory over the Colts on Saturday. Josh Allen, 324, two touchdowns. And next up, the Bills play the Ravens this upcoming weekend. We'll talk more about that Bills win coming up after the break. Mraz, did you have any questions about Lamar Jackson in January going into this game yesterday?
I did, and I kind of hate myself for it. And this goes back to actually Festivus, what Bogus said with all our hot takes and everything being the extreme. And I definitely got caught up in that with Lamar Jackson. And if I take a step back and watch Lamar Jackson do what he did yesterday, which was play brilliantly, you realize I'm a big bumbling doofus just like the rest of America because we have such a lack of patience when it comes to quarterbacks and how quickly they play. And really, I mean, if Josh Allen had lost that game, Blankenship hits a field goal, and we'll get to the Bills in a little bit, would we be saying the same thing about Josh Allen 0-2 in the playoffs? It was like we're just waiting because Lamar Jackson had won that MVP last year to say he had to win a playoff game immediately. You got to give him a pass for the rookie year. I just think we have a lack of patience with young quarterbacks now, and it ends up with all of us just in this, you need to win now, you need to win now, and it makes us look like idiots.
Okay, well, I do want to defend myself a little bit here because I did not feel that way about Lamar Jackson. This weekend, I had brought up the Peyton Manning corollary, so I wasn't doing that. I have done that with Tua, but I feel like it's a little different with Lamar Jackson. And
I didn't mean you.
When Bogus did say that our takes are a little too hot around here, a little too extreme, it should be noted that Mraz, you said in your column for CBSSports.com, CBS Sports Radio, that you didn't want your child to grow up like Doug Peterson. That seemed a little extreme. I didn't say that. And you called all of the Ravens cowards yesterday, and I also didn't say that. That feels like a big stamp to put on a bunch of grown males that play a collision sport for a living. So I do want clarification here. Sometimes you can be a little extreme, but that doesn't mean the show is always that extreme.
Again, I made a point of saying I was the bumbling doofus, not the show. I meant in generalization, there was a lot of people in America talking about Lamar Jackson, and I fell into that. I was a bumbling doofus. And we could get into the coward argument later. When you run into the tunnel after you stomped on their logo, I do believe you're a bunch of cowards, but that's neither here nor there.
Don't you think cowards is a little strong? I mean, they just spent 3 hours smashing one another physically. So they lined up and actually battled one another. And I don't think that they were scared that there was going to be like some type of cage fight at midfield during a handshake.
The problem is, there's not really a word for the between. Like on the real surface, yes, they're strong, tough men that just battled in an NFL game that all of us wouldn't be able to walk for 2 months.
And certainly are not scared of the other person.
No, But when you spend time rubbing out the logo, trash-talking them, and then the moment you win the game, you don't want to look them in the eye and shake hands or face them at midfield, that to me is a cowardly act.
Okay, maybe poor sports?
Poor sportsmanship? Is that what you want to say?
Yeah, cowards suggest that they're physically scared to confront those people, and they just did that for 3.5 hours.
Well, yes, but they did that within the confines of the game. I think that when you see somebody at midfield after the game, it's a little bit of that, unless it's just blatant disrespect that we don't respect you.
Disrespectful, I can agree with. Cowardly is a big jump for a bunch of guys that put their bodies on the line every week.
Maybe we're battling a little too much in the definition of cowardly. I was always on the assumption of cowardly is not wanting to face somebody on the other end. I'll put it this way. I love the rubbing out of the logo, but you got to stand there. You got to see them at midfield after the game. You can't run into the tunnel.
Coward's a big meatball to stick on an adult. That's a big meatball.
We just did 9 minutes of me missaying words. We're going to crush me for one word on coward here?
Well, I saw that you were tweeting this as well, and you were digging into this, so that you were very into this one word. This is not just a flippant word that you use. This is a word that you would definitely double down on.
And I think to your point, yes. Like, on the very literal surface, I think any NFL player can't necessarily be called a coward because of the sport they play, but I do think it was a cowardly act.
Okay. Andrew Bogish has our headlines this morning. He's our resident kind sir. Mr. Bogues, did you find the Ravens cowardly yesterday?
Not cowardly. There's some room for disrespectful. I thought running off the field was the follow-up to dancing on the logo, was them just showing a lack of respect for the Titans. I don't think they ran away because they were scared of being shanked.
It should also be noted that they did this because the Titans had done this the first time around.
Right. Yes. And Marcus Peters, by the way, wasn't a coward. He was still out there yapping. I don't know who he had to get dragged away from, but the last thing on the field was him cursing back over his shoulder at somebody. So there were a couple of Ravens who stayed out there post-game. No, I did not think they were cowardly yesterday.
Did you see that? That Mraz last week said that he didn't want his child to grow up like Doug Peterson. That felt a little extreme.
Yeah, and then there was a more mundane follow-up, we all hate Doug Peterson today tweet or post yesterday going into the game. So, yeah, the Doug Peterson
hate has clearly become very personal. Very personal.
Perhaps.
Whereas if Taylor becomes the head coach of a Super Bowl-winning NFL team, he would say, I don't respect you, Taylor. I didn't want you to grow up this way because now this is exactly like Doug Peterson.
I want her always trying her hardest for full 60 minutes at a time. That's all my point was. Can't have kids growing up like that.
All right, Mr. Bogues, with the headlines, where do we begin?
These ones are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat, so visit Progressive.com. Super wild card weekend ended with the Steelers and Browns in Pittsburgh, and it escalated quickly.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
Yeah, so the Browns just simply killed the Steelers' season last night in a hurry.
From the Pittsburgh 8, shotgun formation, 4 wide. Here's the handoff. It goes on a sweep to the near side to Hunt. Hits the sideline, the 10, broke a tackle, 5. Into the end zone with a cut and a touchdown. Another touchdown by Kareem Hunt. A touchdown run of 8. And the Cleveland Browns have gone up 27-0 with under 2 to play in the first quarter. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Kevin Harlan's first appearance.
We're
going to
have Kevin Harlan
on
the show in a little bit, which is awesome. But let me just ask you guys right there. At 28-0, did you feel like game was over last night, Mraz?
No. No. I needed to get to halfway through the second quarter first.
At 35-7 at halftime, did you think that was over?
Not only did I think it was over, I went to bed at 35-7 at halftime.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Bogues, did you think 28-0 it was over?
Over, no. Was it going to get as close as it did last night? Maybe not. I thought there was going to be one Steeler push, but I didn't think they were going to win 49-0. So I guess I half thought it was over at 28-0.
35-7, halftime?
Yeah, same. I made the same decision Sean did. At halftime, this is enough. I'll figure out what happened in the morning, and something happened in the second half of that game.
And I believe it was 35-10, because I remember getting ready for bed and hearing Boswell made a kick, and I didn't even know how the Steelers got down the field so quick.
I didn't know if it was 35-7 or 35-3 and then 35-10, but you're right. It ended up being 35-10 at halftime. I thought, and this was kind of what Bogish is saying, I didn't go to bed. I watched the entire thing because I knew there was going to be a dramatic moment in the second half. I just knew it couldn't have been that easy for the Browns, but I was at 28-0 convinced they would win. I did not think there was any way we were seeing Frank Reich part two with the way Ben Roethlisberger had played in the second half of this season. So I knew the Browns would win. I just was like, how dicey will it get before they pull away? And it got kind of dicey. And then ultimately the Browns found a way to pull away. We'll talk a lot about that coming up at the top of the hour.
And the final score last night was 48-37. Yes, that is another scoreigami.
Wow.
It is also the Browns. Yeah, they're coming rapid fire.
That doesn't
seem
like, again, that unique of a score, but okay.
It's their first, the Browns' first playoff win since 95. It sends them to KC on Sunday. Baker Mayfield, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns yesterday, while Big Ben, threw for 501 and four scores, but also four picks. His team finishes 1-5 after that 11-0 start. Now, the Cleveland win sends Baltimore to Buffalo on Saturday night. The Ravens were only down 10-0 in the first quarter in Nashville yesterday. They beat the Titans 20-13. The franchise had lost 21 in a row when down by 10-plus points. In between the two AFC games yesterday, the Saints fought off the Bears 21-9. Alvin Kamara didn't play Week 17, then didn't practice last week because of COVID, so he was fresh yesterday.
I got a first-round bye. I got a bye week. So, you know, I mean, it helps, obviously, you know, just having that downtime. It's like, I mean, you have no choice but to sit and recover and kind of, like, get your body back right. So I feel good, man. I feel good out there.
Kamara finished with 99 yards and a score, which got him slimed on Nickelodeon. His team faces the Bucks for the third time in the second game on Sunday. Now, the college football season ends tonight. Alabama, Ohio State playing in Miami. The Tide looking for their sixth national title under Nick Saban. Kickoff is shortly after 8 Eastern. The Celtics and Heat did not play last night because Miami would not have had the required 8 players. Avery Bradley was placed in the league's health and safety protocols during the afternoon. Contact tracing was then still going on last night. The Celtics, meanwhile, were the original problem for this game. They were only going to have 8 players because of 2 injuries and 7 COVID-related absences. As for those that did play, the Warriors snuck past the Raptors 106-105, the Lakers 120-102 winners in Houston, and the Nuggets smacked the Knicks 114-89, and the PGA is taking away the 2022 PGA Championship from Trump Bedminster in New Jersey. They say holding the event there could do irreparable damage to the sport. No replacement has been announced yet. DA, back to you.
Thank you, AB. Mraz, on a basketball note, as a Nets fan, do you even have a working theory on why Kyrie Irving has just gone AWOL and has not explained his absences, nor has the team?
So, I mean, obviously, everybody's jumping to the assumption that it has to do with the storming of the Capitol. My thought process is...
Because that was the first day, it was the day after that that he had missed his first game and has not been back since and has not explained himself since.
Yes. The thing I do find ironic is that this actually lines up with Kevin Durant's absences from COVID contact tracing. And there was some belief, if you want to believe, like, internet blog theories, that Durant's actually being granted this just for a little extended time off as they try to, you know, watch his limit minutes and all of that with the leg injury. And does Kyrie feel like he should be getting the same superstar time off as Kevin Durant? So anytime we don't see Durant, we're not going to see Kyrie.
Oh my God.
There's a lot. But this is the problem. Kyrie leaves you to expand upon all of these things.
For sure.
But it's just ironic that he is now missing the same time that Kevin Durant is missing. And if he comes right back when Durant is back, what does that say?
Wow. You know, boy, when you sign on the dotted line with Kyrie Irving, you have made this deal with never-ending vagaries, never-ending theories, never-ending wondering what's going on in his head. So he's been gone almost a week now. It'll be a week, on Tuesday, I guess.
Right, I guess it's been three games or four games?
Three or four games?
3 games, Thursday, Friday, and yesterday.
Yeah.
And either he hasn't told the team why, and so they can't speculate, or he has told the team, and they feel like they can't say it publicly. Well, either way, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And when he first went missing, the players admitted that, Kyrie texted us why he wasn't going to be there, and Steve Nash didn't know and found out from the media.
Didn't know that he wasn't going to be there.
Right.
But they still don't know why he's not there.
No, didn't know why he wasn't there.
But I thought the players knew.
Yeah, so Kyrie told the players, his teammates, where he was. He did not respond to a Nash text nor tell Nash directly, on his own, unsolicited.
But
now
issue.
Everybody apparently knows why he's gone, but they still will not tell us, which is fine.
It's only January. How many games have they played so far? 10, 12?
11.
We're 11 games into the season. This is already happening. When we come back, the Buffalo Bills get their first playoff win in 25 years. Can they keep this thing going next week with another home game? We'll dissect it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little Wed Bet. Little Drippy 24-7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Zach Moss in the backfield with Josh Allen, the snap. And he keeps it himself on the quarterback option. Runs right side. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills get the lead back again. They go 96 yards and take the lead with 14 seconds left in the half.
It's obviously new territory for myself. But, you know, just gives us a chance to play next week. So I'm super pumped to keep playing.
Josh Allen and the Bills are moving on. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. They will host the Ravens this weekend. That was also Bills Radio on the call. Remember, if you want to catch anything from today's DA show on the NFL playoff weekend, you can always check us out in podcast form. So remember, full episodes are available there, full hours are available there, and the best of, a one-hour bite-sized version of the DA show every day on podcast as well. You know, the Bills actually deserved better than I thought, it coming down to the final Hail Mary of the game, because the Bills had built a 14-point lead in that second half. And the Bills defense, you got a 14-point lead against Phillip Rivers outdoors in the cold in the second half. There is no way that should be a close game. That should be Phillip Rivers throwing it into triple coverage, a quick pick the other way, set up a short field. There's no way the Colts should stay in that game. And the only way that it happened was because the Colts, from an interior run standpoint, was just, they were gashing the Bills. And so they were able to go right down the field and do it quickly. Again, if you make them bleed 5 or 6 minutes off the clock to score a touchdown, that's one thing. It's another thing when they go down the field in 3 or 4 plays and score. So you had kind of a series of terrible events for the Bills where 14-point lead, Colts go right down the field running the football mostly and score a touchdown. They get the ball back, go right down the field and score a field goal. And then Josh Allen, nursing a field goal lead, ends up from the Colts' 34-yard line. So they've already moved into potentially field goal position so that you can't go to overtime on a field goal. They have to score a touchdown. Josh Allen has that disastrous play where he runs into the pass rusher, bounces off, runs into another pass rusher, and then fumbles the ball, and thankfully it's recovered by the Bills, but it's a 23-yard loss. You add all of that up, and it ends up being that the Colts can go down the field and with a Hail Mary or a touchdown drive win, or at the very least kick a game-tying field goal. And that's kind of a disaster, because the Bills in that game had made plays, and so did Josh Allen. He made plays. And, you know, Josh Allen bouncing off of the defender and doing the Tebow jump pass, the throw to Stephon Diggs of the second half to make it a 14-point deficit is an incredible throw and just shows that Allen's got the moxie in those big spots to still challenge the defense deep. And freaking Phillip Rivers, by the end of it, is just chucking balls out of bounds 5 yards out of play on the two throws before the Hail Mary. So I kind of feel as though the final score, it looks like the Bills squeaked by, because, of course, they did squeak by, but it didn't have to be that close, which is why I think that the Bills are better suited next week against the Ravens, getting that under their belt, that playoff W. Maybe it couldn't have been easy. You know, it's a little reminiscent of earlier in the season when they played that tight Patriots game. And we look back in retrospect and they are so much better than the Patriots. And yet they were at home. It was a 3-point game at the end. Cam Newton is driving. They're already in field goal range to tie things up at the least. And then he just kind of drops the ball and the Bills recover. And then the second time they played in Foxborough, it was a whitewash, and the Bills just drilled them. I kind of wonder if maybe the same thing has to happen here for the growth of the Bills. Early this season, they were winning a lot of close games. Late in the season, they were winning a lot of blowouts. Maybe they needed that. Maybe they needed that win. But the Bills get that victory and try to spin it into next week against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. When we come back, all about the Browns' big night in Pittsburgh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.